The Business on RTÉ Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
Hi, can I get a flat white, please?
Of course.
While my coffee is being made, let me tell you what we're doing to halve inflation. I'm afraid coffee is getting more expensive.
Well, that was the Chancellor, the British Chancellor of the Exchequer, Jeremy Hunt, in a video explaining economics with stacked coffee cups and a bit of spin masked as an explainer thrown into the flat white mix. It was dubbed Mr. Bean-esque economics. A man not known for Mr. Bean-esque economics joins us now, Pete Lunn, founder and head of the ESRI's Behavioural Research Unit. And I want to talk a bit about, I suppose, the pitfalls and dangers of oversimplifying or trying to explain economics. Is it something that people get wrong a lot of the time?
Well, I'm almost scared to start talking about it now, having seen what happened to Jeremy Hunt. I mean, it was absolutely toe-curling, wasn't it? I mean, you know, anybody watching it, first of all, you've got this posh, rich guy in a suit who very clearly doesn't even know the price of coffee because somebody else almost certainly goes and gets it for him every morning. And then he's kind of talking down to you in this terribly kind of patronising tone. But I think the broader point is a really important one. You can't take the social circumstances out of trying to explain economics. And the problem there is this, that nearly always the person who's doing the explaining is a person like me who's pretty well paid, middle class person with a decent salary, and they're explaining some system as if, you know, it's completely deterministic. One thing leads to another and you're in the situation you're in, poor individual person, you know, and I'm in the situation I'm in, and that's just the way the system works, and that is a real problem.
So it's almost impossible to get the tone right. I was thinking about it as I watched the video. I can imagine if Liz Truss had tried to do something similar in explaining the budget that she did, it would be, you know, this coffee cup represents our fiscal credibility and over here is a large stick of dynamite and that's the end of that. It is very difficult to actually get the tone right.
I think that's true, but for me anyway, I think the thing that really matters is to be clear about when the system is behaving as a system, when one thing leads to another, and when there are actual genuine choices involved. And I mean, again, one of the things about the Jeremy Hunt YouTube video that I watch is, you know, he's not doing that. He's implying that all the stuff that is causing trouble is caused by external systems. Wherever there's choices, it's really good stuff. And to be honest with people about the choices that are on the table and what actually is being caused by external forces, I think is a really important thing. So, I mean, one of my big bugbears at the moment is the way we talk about inflation and trying to understand what choices do we actually have. So at the moment, we have this very high rate of inflation. It is caused by external forces. What it really means is that all of us in Ireland simultaneously been made poorer. Right, that's the upshot of it. And one way to think about that, because people don't really understand percentages very well, is to put it in more simple terms and say, look, for every 12 things you were buying previously, on the same budget, you can now afford to buy 11. That's roughly what's happened. And people, I think, can understand that a little more. But the crucial thing is, what choices do we have? And people talk about inflation as if somewhere there's someone like the Wizard of Oz with a magic dial who can move it up and down. And actually all the government can do, because we've all been made poorer, is just transfer money between us from rich to poor or from the future to now, from taxpayers.
Do you think, Pete, though, that a lot of people don't understand percentages or don't necessarily grasp a lot of the concepts? I know, for example, in Ireland, after the banking crash and banks collapsed, in what was a very complex thing, lots of business people, lots of business journalists were trying to grapple what was going on. After a period of time, I think most people in Ireland had come to terms with and understood what a liquidity crisis was, what the guarantee tried to do. People, you know, can get a hold of these concepts.
Yes, they can. But it isn't just what I think or don't think. I mean, there's research evidence on this. So there's a couple of big problems in the way that macroeconomics in particular is talked about. One of them is percentages. So we know that there's a large proportion of the population that doesn't really understand percentages. And we can measure that. So, for example, I did work with a former colleague, David Duffy, a few years ago, looking at public perceptions of inflation. Actually, a small minority, only about a fifth or a quarter of the population, knows the inflation rate to within 2%. Most people are a long, long way out. They just don't know. If you give people simple manipulations to do with percentages, actually the majority of the population really struggles with that. So percentages aren't very helpful. So trying to put things in different terms can be really useful, comparing one thing with another thing. So for example, you know, if we're talking about, you know, the economics of childcare, which is a big thing, and people saying it should be more money, well, maybe it's much easier to understand that if we sort of say, well, look, you know, for every 100 euro we spend on a household which is a single pensioner, we spend X amount of euro on a household that has a primary school age child, and you start to put it in ordinary language that people can understand.
Is there a danger sometimes with statistics that there's a drift towards people understanding pictures instead of numbers, right? And that's fine if it helps to communicate the message more clearly, but can it actually dumb things down too much?
I think if you're not careful, it can. But a good chart is much, much better than any amount of conversation, which is a bit unfortunate when you're talking to someone on the radio. But in general, that's true. You can tell stories in pictures. And myself and my colleagues would try and do that regularly. But I mean, there are particular pitfalls to avoid as well. I mean, another one of my bugbears is the millions versus billions thing. I mean, we know, again, from research, not just from my thoughts, we know from research that people don't really distinguish and understand the definitions of millions and billions. And the result of that is you can just use it to make it sound like a huge amount. So, you know, oh, they've spent 20 million on this. Or if you're, you know, trying to be in favour of the government's policy, you're just going to say, oh, we've invested 8 million in this and another 22 million in this. And these amounts of money in terms of the overall public budget are absolute peanuts, which is why, again, I think if we can start to do comparisons, because the thing is, there is a system. And within the system, there are choices. And if you're explaining stuff well, what you're doing is getting across where are the choices. Why do we spend this amount more on this than we do on this? And those are the choices.
Does it work to try and tell a story to simplify some of
these things? It absolutely does, yeah. So again, when you're talking about inflation, if you want people to really try to understand it, trying to say that, you know, this is about when you go to the supermarket, it isn't about what the bill is, it's about what you can afford. It's about the fact that you have to leave with fewer items for the amount of money that you have. And roughly speaking, as I said, it's about 11 items instead of 12 as a result of what's happened. If you can put things into those narrative concepts, the research shows that people remember them better and they understand them better. So there is some research here that's actually quite helpful.
And it is worthwhile in the end. Pete Lunn, founder and head of the ESRI's Behavioural Research Unit, thank you very much for joining us on the program.